At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business, like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
All right, let's go. You're on with J&J to start your Tuesday on 92.9 FM ESPN. Welcome to the August 18th, 2026 edition of the show. We are creeping closer to the start of college football. We are less than 2 weeks away from Charles Huff at the University of Memphis making its week zero debut out at UNLV. Can't wait to talk more about that. John, we're getting closer, and here's the reason I know that. Charles Huff shut it down. We're going to stop talking because it's about to be go time. It's about to be go time over at the University of Memphis. So we'll talk about that game, which, what, a week from Saturday now? We get closer and closer. Obviously, there's a quarterback battle going on. A lot to talk about in terms of what it means for the rest of the season. Memphis at UNLV. Has that line changed at all?
Not really.
It's kind of been sitting there. Six and a half in some place. Six and a half. Six from what I've seen.
Yeah.
And so maybe all the information is in. Saw a little clip of Dan Mullen talking about preparing for Memphis's two quarterbacks. We'll talk about that. Hey, MVP race in the NL. Both guys, PCA, Shohei Ohtani, hit two home runs last night. Did you see PCA's? A leadoff and a walk-off. Doesn't happen a lot. First time since 2010. I'm looking at Brad as I say that because there's really, when I talk baseball around John, it just kind of goes in one ear and out the other.
I am who I am, you know. It's nothing personal. I don't mean any harm by it.
However, when I tell you that Roger Goodell has plans to take over the world,
yeah,
then you're interested.
Oh,
right?
Well,
then
yeah.
We're back. Football is king. College basketball, penny roster full. Where's it at on Torvik today, John? We'll check in a little bit later on with the update there. How are you feeling on this Tuesday, gentlemen?
Feeling great, man. Feeling
good.
You know, I mean, it's
very good.
Good.
Very good.
Me too.
You know, we're one day closer to things happening again. That's always fantastic.
That's right.
Nothing is happening right now.
Well, I will say this. Behind the scenes, there's movement in terms of an expansion franchise in our fantasy league. There's movement behind the scenes, isn't there? So I'm a little excited about that.
Yep.
As well.
Yep.
Things are happening behind the scenes. The on-the-court stuff and the on-field stuff's coming, John.
It is coming.
It's coming very soon.
But it's been a long offseason. I say that. There is no doubt. But yeah, we got some, you know, I mean, this is, you know, is this the kind of expansion and realignment that, you know, the Protect College Sports Act was trying to, you know, stop? I think maybe you could ask that question, but it didn't pass.
This is professional expansion.
It didn't pass. And so, yeah, there's definitely a lot going on behind the scenes here at 92.9 FM ESPN. You know, people getting boxed out, people getting let in.
Hey, cold world.
Cold world indeed. Grab a blanket.
7-21 speaks for itself, doesn't it?
It does.
All right.
You know, we try not to throw our political weight around here, but
sometimes you have to flex it.
You got to remind folks a little bit, bro. We've been doing this for a long time, man.
Humbly.
We've seen a lot of people come. We've seen a lot of people go.
That's true.
And we still here.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. And let me say this, that ain't no MF accident, no. And it ain't easy either.
Well, I feel grateful.
So sometimes you got to remind them of, because they forget. Mm. they forget.
Okay.
No question about it. And I'm not even know. I don't even know if that applies to
your
situation.
Yeah, I don't know where we're at anymore.
But I do think it kind of does. It kind of does.
Yeah.
Anyway, big show today. We're going to be joined by Steve Cofield.
Hot Cofield.
He does the radio thing out there in Las Vegas. And so we're going to catch up with him to talk a little bit about Dan Mullen, UNLV, the matchup. Like you said, I mean, anywhere between 5.5 and 6.5, depending on where you go. So.
I sense that Mullen's a little giddy about this game.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's taking us a little lightly.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
Yeah. So we'll see what kind of the vibe is out there from Vegas about, you know, Memphis and just
He's got Pastner, too.
What the game represents. UNLV was sold, obviously, for $12 million.
Is that what it cost?
Yeah, $12 million. Got you. And again, as I explained to Josh, I said, hey, man, you don't know who you're selling to. They may say, yo ass is out.
Then I saw a lot of ahead of the curves sort of columns and stories. You know, he's kind of telling the truth, though.
Genius.
After he got killed early on.
Absolutely.
For the statement. Isn't that always Josh, though?
It is Josh.
Always ahead of his time.
He really is. He really, truly is. And so, anyway, Steve Cofield is going to join us at 10 a.m. We'll get the UNLV side.
Looking forward to that.
Behind enemy lines.
That'll be his first time on the show, right?
It will. I've gone on with him, I think, 2 times.
Excellent.
So this is a 2-for-1.
Okay. Okay, that's what Arkansas does with us.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Something like that.
I guess, you know, okay. I'm the lesser of the two here, clearly.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm getting the one return here from Steve. So, anyway.
Hot Cove.
He'll join us at 10 a.m. And then at 11:25, Professional Wedding Crasher available for you if you need a 1.5-hour nonstop dancer in your wedding. Jessica Benson is going to join us, and we'll talk to her.
The number that her and her husband did on your mind.
Oh, it's crazy.
With this dancing, incredible.
I mean, you would just think at some point there would be an intermission. Like
exactly.
Maybe,
did they do line dancing or something?
Oh, I mean, they did it all.
They just come and take over.
They did it all.
Whole room just watches them.
They did it all. Yeah, they did the Cupid Shuffle. They did the electric slide. They did the train. They did the swag surf. They did everything in between.
I saw Devin Walker yesterday, and there did seem to be sort of an acknowledgement that Benson and her husband took over, but that he was right up there behind them, doing his thing as well.
Oh, absolutely.
So I'm glad everybody had a good time. Once again, congratulations to John Roser on the nuptials.
He's going to Maui for his honeymoon.
Holy moly. Yeah, he wasn't around. Yeah, that's right. Okay, he's gone.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
And I think wasn't there like a
go immediately on
a weather
honeymoon
situation in Maui?
They've had the
hurricane.
Big hurricanes coming through.
Yeah, so hopefully that subsides. Oh. So
it might miss the Big Island.
yeah, I mean, I hope that, you know, because I don't know how that works with the. Yeah, hopefully they got
the trip insurance.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one you're going to need to get it on.
Yeah. I assume,
on the honeymoon, you go ahead and spend it.
Yeah,
I assume. Yeah, Hawaii.
I skip it a lot.
You know, with all the things that go on there, you probably have to get the insurance.
Yeah,
you've been there.
Been to Hawaii, yes, to cover a Maui.
I've never been there. So it's on my list.
Yep. Faith and I did a lot of arguing out there. You wonder how you can argue in paradise. It's one of the things I remember.
How did you do it?
Pretty random.
How did you do it?
How did I do what?
Argue in paradise.
Pretty easily. Amazingly so. You'd be surprised. Now, that was early in the relationship, as you know.
Yeah.
We're 17 in now.
No.
Both of us vets.
It wouldn't happen in 2026. Because now you would just leave her alone.
I'm too old to argue now, John.
Yeah, now you would just vacate
You're
the
right.
situation and return to it later. So
yeah, I just kind of either shut up or, like you said, vacate.
Yeah, and then, you know, are you still mad about this 4 hours later? Okay, we'll do this again. So anyway, that's the show today. Looking forward to it, as always. But there was a really nice piece up at ESPN.com today about NBA rookies. Obviously, we're still about a month out from, you know, training camp and everything getting underway and preseason and stuff like that. But, you know, it's never too early to talk about the Grizzlies in basketball in Memphis. And there's a great piece up at ESPN by the NBA Insiders. Now, I don't know exactly who that list comprises of.
McMahon's a part of that, I know for sure. I don't know. Maybe inside of it, John, I think they may actually break it down in terms of the authors that did their. But I'm pretty sure McMahon's a part of it. Windhorst is a part
Michael
of it.
Michael C. Wright, our guy.
Go. Yeah, there's I. C. Wright.
Jeremy
right
Woo.
Woo. Maybe Windhorst isn't then.
And Ben Golliver.
There you go.
Okay, Windhorst is, he's like Michael Jackson.
He's
this is the Jackson
this
five.
Is not. Yeah, this is not, he's collective. He's Hoop Collective.
That's right. Who,
oh, by the way, don't they have to add someone because Tim is out? Didn't Bontemps go?
He's Hawks.
That's right. So if you're, because it's McMahon, Bontips, and Brian, so they're gonna have to add somebody.
Yeah, I think Ben Golliver might have been that guy. I'm not sure.
But Ben Golliver, who we know and love.
Yeah, exactly right. So anyway, that is the group that did this. Windhorse again is Michael Jackson, and these guys are, you know, Tito and everybody else. So basically the pieces though. About rookies and projecting their future impact in the NBA. And, you know, obviously the Grizzlies drafted Cam Boozer, number 3, Kareem Lopez there late in the first round. And they asked a couple questions. They polled several scouts in the NBA and, you know, took a poll. It seems like they polled 13 scouts or so. And in this piece, they asked a variety of questions. First question. Which top pick has the fastest path to becoming an NBA superstar? With 5 votes, the number one answer was Darren Peterson of the Utah Jazz, which, you know, makes some sense. A.J. DeBonsa was 2nd with 4 votes. Caleb Wilson, interestingly enough, was 3rd with 3 votes. And then with 1 vote at 4, Cam Boozer. So Cam Boozer got a vote there. Fastest path to becoming an NBA superstar. Although I'm a little surprised there was so much love for Caleb. I mean, I guess I understand it after that summer league, but I guess the explosiveness does titillate you.
This would go back to what was a lot of the pre-draft conversation, some of the draft conversation about Cameron Boozer's ceiling not being as high, according to some, as the Petersons, the DeBansas, and the Wilsons. Nobody's talked about Cam Boozer as a face of the league. They have about those other guys. And again, this is a lot of the conversation we were having before the draft. Such things as athleticism and everything else, you know, factoring into that conversation. I'm glad Cam got a vote, but I've never thought of him, and we're somebody who's lauded the pick. John, you've said it since they got the moved up in the draft lottery. I've never thought of him as superstar. I've thought of him as maybe star for this team and key piece. Frankly, I wouldn't mind for a little while maybe being out of the superstar business. Of course, I want a star in Memphis, but right now, you need to build correctly. I mean, you're coming off of what a quote-unquote superstar was, and maybe because of his status, it wasn't built in a way that necessarily was sustainable. And so back to the point, I'm happy he got the one vote. It doesn't surprise me that Darren Peterson, a guy who's going to have the ball in hands, we're talking about a power forward. You know, it's going to be high-usage guys. DeBansa and Peterson have a chance to be that. It's interesting to see when they'll let DeBansa do that.
Yep.
When you're on a team with Trey and with Anthony Davis, when's that going to happen if it does? And then Caleb, we get it. He's a walking poster. So in terms of superstars and faces of the league, I can get why those guys got more votes. 5 for Peterson, 1 for Boozer. You know,
yep.
DeBansa 4, yeah, Wilson 3. It makes sense to me.
Yeah. But Cam Boozer to get a vote, so that's good to see. Next question: who is most likely to make an All NBA team first? With 7 votes, number 1, Cam Boozer.
Yeah, this one was overwhelming. It's a landslide.
It was a landslide. And this is sort of what they write. Boozer and the Grizzlies, meanwhile, will surprise some teams this season, but their overall success likely hinges on the health of Zach Edey. Still, Boozer's basketball IQ, physicality, passing skills, and ability to make everybody around him better will lift a young, revamped Memphis roster expected to lean on an unconventional style of play. But they think he's going to make an All-NBA team first. So, I mean, that's amazing. Ja was 2nd team. He was never first, right?
Mm-mm.
Or was never. Was he even 2nd? Yeah, he was. 2nd team in 2022. Jaren was never even 2nd, right? He was 3rd, maybe?
It's going to be hard.
Yeah, very hard. Very difficult.
Jaren got 3rd team, did he not?
I think he got 3rd team 1 year.
Yeah, that's going to be tough to do. But he will have that production, you figure,
mm-hmm.
and have a chance to have it very early on. It'll get him the chance to do so.
Right.
I like that he's up there first.
Yeah.
Darren Peterson's going to have a problem early on figuring out how many shots am I getting? Is Keontae allowing me to get those shots?
Yeah, and I think that's probably part of the vote as well.
The calculus here.
Because A.J. DeBansa is going to have to fight for, you know, I mean, he's going to have
to fight for
playing time.
With Trey and with Anthony Davis in terms of shots and pecking order, at least to start there, even if the franchise intends to eventually give it to him.
Yes.
You got to pay your dues. That's what happens in this league. And Caleb, too, that's the one where you know everything's going to be filtered through and potentially Giddy throwing it to him. But what's the efficiency going to look like?
Exactly.
Could be very inefficient.
Yeah.
You know, so I get why Boozer's up at the top of that list on all NBA.
Which lottery pick will be selected to an all-star team first? Number one, there's a tie. There's a tie at the top. A.J. DeBance and Darren Peterson both get four votes.
I think that's probably right, too, considering, you know, DeBance in the East is probably, I don't know, well, there's been some movement. I still think DeBance has got a chance in the East. Does LeBron James, is he making all-star games in the East for the next 2 years?
I would assume.
He should abstain first, okay, to let the young guys in. But if so, then the advances and stuff will have to, you know, it'll be a while on them.
I mean, LeBron's never
right?
missed. I mean, LeBron hasn't missed an all-star game.
Well, he didn't sit that 1 year for Powell, right? The year he could have stood down, and instead he was injured, but he wouldn't stand down and give Powell the spot.
Yeah.
It felt like. So, yeah, I mean, doesn't feel
he's
like
he's been
ever
an
been
NBA
that
all-star for 22 years in a row. So he will finish his career with 24 straight appearances.
Yeah, it'll keep a guy like DeBanza down for a little while, right? As you keep, because Jaylen Brown's got to be one. I mean, you got, you know, you've got guys that you already know are penciled in there. So, Darren Peterson in the West though, there's too many guards in the West.
Mm-hmm.
You know who's going to be an all-star soon is Dylan Harper.
Yeah, he is,
because of how good the Spurs are, and then what we see of him. The dog he is. Like, he's on the rise. And so it could be a minute on both of those guys. Boozer's third there with three votes. I'm just trying to make a case that Boozer gets there first. Not sure that happens either, but it could be a while for all those guys just because of all the dues they've still got to pay, how deep the league is, you know, all-star appearances that are owed to guys that are, mm-hmm. you know, still in their prime.
Yeah. Cam Boozer got three votes in this. He was third. So he did get some love, and then Caleb Wilson was fourth with two votes. Which top rookie has the highest long-term? And you notice, by the way, that every question so far has only involved four players, right?
Like, so far,
entire first round of players, but every answer to these questions so far has centered around four players, top four picks in this draft. That's about to change. Which top rookie has the highest long-term ceiling? A.J. DeBanza, six votes, number one. Darren Peterson, number two, with three votes. Caleb Wilson, third, with two votes. Mikal Brown Jr. of the Brooklyn Nets got a vote.
To me, that is the exact same question. Highest long-term ceiling, to me, is the exact same question as becoming an NBA superstar. That's the highest ceiling.
Yeah.
So that's why Cam's not on this list. He just had one on the other one. And I can understand having Mikal on there, because he's a guy that we've said the usage rate's going to be high. He could come in very early on and be among the league's assist leaders if you read up on him, and I can completely understand him being there. But again, this is a conversation that we've sort of dismissed Cam from. Some of this high ceiling conversation, face of the league, superstar conversation. This is the same question to me as the question about, you know. As the question, the first question about NBA superstar.
Yeah.
Highest ceiling is that.
Yep.
For anybody.
Yep.
Is a superstar.
Yeah. But that's that was the answer to that one. Which lottery pick will have the biggest impact on winning this season? Number one with five votes, Cam Boozer. Cam Boozer's mix of offensive polish and overall processing on both ends makes him the most NBA-ready of the lottery picks. And while the adjustment to the NBA level from a size, athleticism, and pace perspective will pose some immediate challenges for him, there's not much doubt that Boozer will be able to solve for that. He has always been advanced for his age and should be a productive rookie on a team that's relatively well-constructed around him. How many games the Grizzlies will win this season with what's still a very young and evolving team is the correct follow-up question. Whatever success they have will be tied to Boozer's readiness to help carry them.
Yeah, I think it's more tied to Zach Edey's readiness to be out there. I think Boozer is going to be good. And he's going to be productive, whether they're good or bad. But Edie's the one that's going to determine whether or not they win. Him being out there, he's the one that, frankly, Cameron needs.
Yes.
You start making him the centerpiece, and everything's on him with all that defensive length that's in the West. If it's him and Isaiah Stewart, for example, out there, I know Isaiah Stewart's got the wingspan, but that's. Boozer as a centerpiece is not what you want. You need him next to it, and hopefully it's not in the same kind of dependence that Jaren you know, needed that guy. But you need Edie next to him. And Edie, frankly, is the biggest factor in terms of how much you're winning. How much is he out there? We saw for the 11 games the difference he makes, especially defensively, in terms of what you're doing. So I think Boozer's going to be good one way or the other. But Edie's what's going to determine wins or not. Not Boozer, because you're going to get good Boozer. It's going to be whether or not Edie is out there. It's going to determine that.
Yes. Other players who got votes, Darren Peterson got 4 votes. AJ DeBanza got 1 vote. Morris Johnson got 1 vote for the Mavericks. And then Yaxel Lindeborg got 1 vote for the Golden State Warriors, who apparently was on stream going at Cam Boozer. Somebody asked about Cam
Boozer. Yeah, he hates Cam.
And, I mean, in fairness, whoever asked it kind of agged them on. He said, like, how does it feel to be the son of Cam Boozer, or that Cam Boozer is your dad or something like that? You know, and then he had to.
That's what I mean. He won the MVP. That's a ridiculous question to ask him right now. If he's coming off MVP, but I guess that if you want to trigger him.
Yeah. He also said randomly that like he doesn't claim UAB. Did you see that? Like he spent 2 years there.
Yeah.
But he says that there was some quote.
Maybe something happened, because I don't know. He seemed awfully appreciative of it even when he was still. Maybe it was just the early time at Michigan. You don't get the opportunity in Michigan if not for old Andy.
Oh, exactly. So that's why I was a little, you know, because he came back for that second year.
And that's where you developed the disdain for Memphis. So you clearly appreciated your time being there and what you represented as a Blazer, you know, versus Memphis.
Yeah.
So I just don't get, maybe something's changed. Maybe Andy said something.
Yeah, because he said in March 2025, AK saved my life. UAB has made me the player I am today.
But again, perhaps. And maybe there's some hard feelings on the part of UAB. What he's become, all the credit he's probably given to Michigan and Dusty May, maybe something's been said since.
Yep.
That's got Yaxel feeling a certain kind of way.
Yeah, he said they didn't treat me on his stream. He's playing Madden. He said they didn't treat me like I made history, so I'm not finna rep him.
So I told you something's
And then he said he has not talked to Andy Kennedy. He said the last time I spoke to Coach Kennedy was before he graduated. So, I don't know.
You know, that story about him, where basically his mom had to take the door off of his room in the house, I still think about it all the time, because he'd go in that room and close that door and then get nothing done, and he's credited her with kicking him in the butt to the point that, bro, you got to do something with your life. And if that doesn't happen, you know, then, but that's what I'm gonna do, is take the door off. If no progress is being made.
Yeah, he said the upper management did some BS. He's talking about UAB still. They were lying to me, lying on me, and talking bad about my mom. So I don't know, like.
I told you, his mom, he holds her near and dear.
Yeah,
I mean, according to him, she saved his life. He was going nowhere fast.
Yeah. You hate to see that he doesn't hold
his. Who cares? We don't. Andy Kennedy been shooting shots left and right.
Yeah.
Who cares? They got a little beef with now. They're what? One of their best players ever come through there.
Yeah, man.
We should be cheering that up.
Yeah. I mean, is there a better player?
Take the low road.
He's definitely great. He's got to be the best player in UAB history, right? I mean, there's never been a top 12 pick in the history of NBA. You know. UAB
I mean, I loved Lawrence Kennard. I don't think he went number 12.
You know, Squeaky Johnson.
Oh, Squeaky.
Yeah, Squeaky. You had Kennard's definitely in there. Oh, what's his name? The shooter, Robert Vaden.
Vaden.
He gave
used to kill some of those Cal teams.
He did. He definitely gave us some buckets.
Mm-hmm.
Past that, it's pretty ugly. So, yeah, I mean, it ain't even close. Anyway, who will prove to be the biggest draft steal? Brayden Burris, number one of the Milwaukee Bucks, 6 votes. Yaxel Lindeborg got 3 votes. Darius Acuff got 2 votes. Caleb Wilson and Kingston Flemings were tied with 1 vote. You like Brayden Burris?
I like more where he's picked in terms of being a steal. It's hard to call a 4 pick or even a 7 pick to me as a steal, especially when Acuff's going to be given everything. You know, he's obviously the 7 pick I'm speaking of. He's going to be given everything with the Kings. He's been crowned already as sort of the next thing. That's not a steal. That's what everybody expected Sacramento to do. Burris and Lindeborg are more in the range of guys, if we're talking about where they're picked, that I think of as can be steals. And so I agree with Burris being up top. His usage rate's going to be higher. Lindeborg's is going to be ultimately dictated for him by where that ball comes off the rim, how many times he gets it rolling to the basket. He's not getting the ball and them saying, go get us a bucket. That's not happening. Whereas Burris, he's going to have a chance to really develop with the ball in his hands under Taylor Jenkins, who's developed young cores before and done it very quickly and successfully. So Burry's a good pick there.
Yeah. And then I think there's one more. Which rookie landed in the best situation? That's the top. Clear. Cam Boozer and Morris Johnson were tied at the top. Boozer is the face of a full-blown rebuild with the Grizzlies, who flipped the final page of the franchise's previous chapter by trading Ja Morant soon after the draft. He'll have plenty of opportunity to grow as a playmaking power forward with the Memphis offense running through Boozer right away and potentially for years to come.
I don't get why Morris has three votes along with Boozer. It's not as you have. Don't you still have Gafford and Lively there?
Yeah, but I guess the idea of playing with Flag, you know, I don't know.
Some people thought he was taken too high.
Yeah.
Some people thought you should. And nobody's faulting Dusty. We said, well, he knows the one to get from Michigan. But how is that as good a fit as Boozer with Memphis? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying anything Memphis has got is perfect. But if it's a healthy Zach Edey.
Yeah.
The fit in Memphis is better. I thought that was pretty. It's weird to me that some people consider that a tie.
Yeah,
that both got three votes. Interesting.
And then last question here on the scout survey: which of the top four picks will win an NBA championship first? Top vote is Darren Peterson with 5, but right behind him, Cam Boozer of the Memphis Grizzlies with 4 votes.
How about that?
Boozer has a long track record of high level winning dating back to high school, and he is joining a Grizz organization with a savvy front office that built a promising young core in the not-too-distant past. So that's the idea there with Cam Boozer. I understand. I mean, I get it.
They're saying it's going to happen here. That's what I had to make sure of.
Yes, 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 yes.
Going to
happen.
That title is going to happen here.
Absolutely.
4 votes, I thought, was a lot.
Yeah, I mean, speaks to the fact that, you know, scouts believe in the Grizz's ability to draft a title contender again. If you consider
because that's all that they've done is draft one. They haven't put it together from the other aspects that you have to, like we've talked about, with the right vets around them and the right free agent hits. Again, that was all part of OKC. It's not just all draft. You go out and make moves. You trade Giddey. You get Hartenstein. You know, Caruso coming in on that trade. That's the part that Zach hasn't licked. So it is. It's kind of surprising to me to see that kind of confidence in him, because drafting, it's one thing. Getting over the hump from good to great, like we've said, requires the other moves.
Yep.
So to see him that high behind, I suppose, their faith in Utah and Ainge with Darren Peterson, number one, I thought was pretty interesting.
Yes, yes.
Grizzlies winning a title?
I'd love that. I would really,
especially as down in the dumps as you've been. You think about that would lift you up like a freaking rainbow, bro.
I think
you'd be skipping to work.
This, I could be wrong on this. I think it would be a lot of fun if the Grizzlies won an NBA championship.
What a hot take.
What do you guys think? Think it would be a good time?
I think you're on fire is what I think.
That'd be the biggest thing that ever happened in Memphis history.
Yeah, I think it'd be pretty big.
Well, I'd say, like,
heck,
you know,
you
we
talking
we,
about
sports.
We beat Yellow Fever in the 1800s, but sports, I mean, obviously getting the golf tournament, you know, the Challenger event, I mean, and then you have the tennis event we got at the Leftwich Center. I mean, I think that's pretty, but I think it'd be a good time if they won the NBA title. I think we could
gigantic.
I think we could celebrate that potentially.
We did a whole meet Cal and the team at the plane when they lost.
Yeah.
Think about what we do for the Grizzlies coming back.
Wow.
Man, that was a
the whole
moment.
City would be out there. And the whole city felt like they were out there for Cal and them.
Wow. Yeah, man. I could be on an island. I just think it'd be a fun time.
Yeah, forget the parade. The parade would start the moment they landed back in Memphis, because this is something we've never really had.
Yeah, I mean,
period. Not just NBA, but I mean that championship, that top
yes.
of the mountain
yes.
type trophy.
Is the National Guard still here?
I'm seeing fewer of them if they are.
It feels like they're not here anymore. I could be wrong on that, but I just feel
make sure you say it feels like, because I don't want you putting out false.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't.
I don't remember reading anything that says they've evacuated. Sam would they be on top of that?
So the question just is, will they be joining us for the, like, how soon will the title be? Will they be joining us on the parade, or will they have been?
They'll be long gone by that time. ESPN didn't say when, fool.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean,
it said first to one of these teams.
Right.
It could be 10 years for Utah with Peterson.
I mean, honestly, like.
And 11 for us.
A lot of these, like, AJ DeBanza's path is not that obvious. Darren Peterson's path is not that obvious. So, I mean, none of these clowns could win. It could be like a complete, I mean, you know, somebody in the 20s or 30s who's joining a good team and playing no role on it.
Yeah, exactly. It's LeBaron Filon.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
But that's why they asked the question on this one, which are the top four picks?
Right, right.
Yeah. Because that's too obvious.
Right, right, right.
You'd go outside.
Yeah. So I think Cam Boozer is probably slotted correctly there at two, like right behind Darren Peterson. But, you know, who knows? Anyway, that piece is up at ESPN.com if you want to read that. We kind of did it for you, but if you want to just read it for yourself, you can do that up at ESPN.com. All right, we have a lot more to get to on the show today. We're going to talk a little UNLV football with Steve Cofield at 10 a.m., get the scoop from him on, you know, just how good they're expecting to be out there. I mean, that would help. I mean, I think we kind of know because the number has done what it's done. But we'll get it from him at 10 a.m. Stick around. J&J 92.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir. But yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
NFM, ESPN. All right, Memphis basketball is on the verge of making its first Sweet 16 since 2009. Every month should be March.
There's some positivity from the man.
Absolutely. You know, our last Sweet 16 is about to be a full-blown legal adult.
Now, I thought you said Torva got them folks 276.
Oh, yeah.
So how are they going to make a Sweet 16 with this team?
I'm glad you asked, man. This is not a team that Penny has put together. This is a team that was put together by March Madness MBB on Instagram, which I believe is the official NCAA college basketball account on Instagram.
I believe it is.
And they are running a 21st century 3-on-3 NCAA tournament.
This is great.
And Memphis, I don't know how the selection process worked. This would not have been my team.
Really?
It would not have been my team.
Well, let's start there then.
So the 21st century starts when? 2000?
2000.
Okay. So I'll just tell you who they have. Tyreek Evans, D. Rose, CDR.
Pretty darn good.
I think two of the three are absolutely correct. However.
They're a five seed, by the way.
They're a five seed.
That three is a five seed, Brad.
We need a big. And so.
You're trying to win.
Yeah.
You don't like having three guards.
Yeah.
I mean, Tyreek is 6'7".
I mean, he's a bully.
On a good day.
Yeah, I mean, he could definitely, but it's like we don't have any interior. So I would go Derrick Rose, and this is since 2000, so you can't go Keith Lee, you can't go.
Can't go back and get Keith Lee, yeah. Can't go get Penny.
Right.
So I but you're looking for a big.
Looking for a big who I know is going to, like, box out, be an enforcer down there, you know, can finish lobs.
Get Kelly Wise.
So I'll go Derrick Rose, Chris Douglas Roberts, and Chad Rycook.
You're going to go Joy Dorsey.
I'm going to go Jalen Duren, fool.
Of course you are.
I'm going to go. What? He's 21st century.
But we saw in the playoffs, he's going to be limited.
Three on three, we're playing straight at the rim. We don't have to run the floor. We don't have to shoot threes.
A team with two bigs, he's going to be crushed.
Well, nobody has two bigs, do they?
I'm sure somewhere in here somebody's going to flex two bigs. Anyway, it's very interesting.
See, Washington just
Durin's. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong to take Durin. That's very clever, to be honest with you. It's very clever. I mean, the guy made it. He's going to be on a max contract, basically.
Yeah.
He's a made max. He made all NBA. So it's pretty smart.
Max NBA big. So give me Jalen Durin. I'm open to other suggestions, but I don't think Tyreek, CDR, and D-Rose is our best three.
Brad, who was your best Memphis three starting in 2000? Go.
Starting in 2000, best Memphis three would be Derrick Rose is one.
You're definitely taking D-Rose.
With a bullet. After that is where it gets dicey, right? Because there's no exact number two. Since 2000, I think you have a big and it can be pretty close to now, right? Up till
yes.
now.
Oh, yeah. It's 2000 to 2026.
Get Mike Parks if you want.
Jalen Durin is my center.
Mm-hmm. You're going with John. Y'all very clever. Y'all came more recently.
Precious Achiuwa is my power forward.
You only get three.
You get three guys. This is a three-on-three tournament that the NCAA is putting on.
I'll do those three.
All right, so
D-Rose,
Precious, and Jalen Durin.
That's right.
And Jalen Durin,
I mean,
can't shoot it, that lineup.
Yeah, it can't. It's
That's okay. We can guard, and we can run. We can force the ball.
It's a versatile.
You can guard.
It's a versatile lineup.
Precious is very versatile.
Interesting.
Defensively.
You have a switch hitter there with Precious. You got a guard, and albeit not a great shooter, but somebody who can slash and dash. You can set screens, and you got a screener du jour, and you got a rebounder and a dunker.
I mean, do you?
I stand by it.
I think we all. I mean, I
actually think it's pretty clever. Getting Precious, his defensive versatility, he's going to hurt. He's going to hurt John's Jalen Durin. Now, you have Jalen Durin also on your team,
but
when you are facing John, Precious is going to give Jalen Durin problems.
Well, because really, it'd be CDR guarding Precious in this case, because Jalen Durin has to guard Jalen Durin.
You can't put him on the himself.
Right. It's like me versus me. I'm my biggest
opponent. You're going to break the whole cipher.
I'm my biggest op. But, I mean, okay, so there's no doubt that. I mean, I like having CDR there because his game feels definitely like tailor-made for three-on-three.
I don't like how you just dismissed Tyreek, Brad.
I love Tyreek. Tyreek was definitely on my brain. He's right there.
I don't need Tyreek and D-Rose.
Yeah, I think that's where I come down on it, too.
Because both
in
the ball, they're both downhill drivers. Both really bad
shooting guards that just slash.
I feel like D-Rose.
I feel like Tyreek could shoot it better than D-Rose.
Probably.
I'd have to go back and look. I think it was pretty close.
Yeah, I think really?
Tyreek stunk until Cal put him on the ball. He shot 27% from three at Memphis.
God.
Well, I was going to NBA.
Well, we're going to Memphis.
What they became. I mean, I can't believe
it. D-Rose was 34% from three. In college,
I would have told you it was significantly lower.
Yeah.
Wow!
So I definitely don't need.
Hell,
Tyreek.
Precious shoots almost 30% in the NBA.
Yeah, but did D Rose that? I mean, you're talking about an outlier season.
He shot 2.6 a game at Memphis.
So, yeah, I'm saying what he's shooting NBA. Don't worry about it, though.
Well, are we using NBA stats or college stats?
It's a fair question.
He wasn't a 3-point shooter though.
No,
I'll give it to you that in that if we're losing his 1 year of college, then yes, he was a better outside shooter than Tyreek.
Yeah.
Still think Tyreek had more perimeter game than Derrick Rose. He had to drive past you and jump over you.
Yeah.
All that said, I don't think I can beat y'all's teams. I mean, I could try to go twisty and curvy and tell you I'm going Will Barton or something, but I don't think that's necessary. The answer is somewhere in the three that they've got and maybe adding a big or not. You know, they've got with CDR, Derrick Rose, and Tyreek Evans, that's a pretty good three-on-three team. And I don't know how much banging we're doing and throwing it inside in a real three-on-three game, man. We're shooting that thing. So going three guards, I think, was pretty smart on the part of the March Madness folks.
All right, so
I'm not trying to cop out here. I don't think I can top y'all's team.
Well, you don't have to top it, but like would you roll with this? I feel like there's no, like, you would definitely, because I think, this is what I truly think, I think you appreciate.
I'm going to get Sean Williams.
I like that, but I do think you would have a hard time passing up on
y'all.
Tyler Harris, you know, in the 3-on-3.
Tyler, yeah. I wasn't thinking about Tyler. I did, Joe crossed my mind.
Joe is interesting.
I will say he crossed my mind. Like, he's a conference player of the year.
Yeah.
If I'm getting Joe Jr., season Joe,
right,
that had Damon Stoudemire, assistant coach.
Yeah.
That's pretty darn good.
Yep.
But come on, it's freaking MVP Derrick Rose.
Exactly.
Man.
It's very
you're
tough.
You're trying to outsmart yourself. Yeah. And yeah. That's why I'm stopped. That's why it would be silly.
Yep.
You're not topping D Rose. CDR is unorthodox as scores he was. He's hard to stop too. So the answers are in the Cal players. That's the point.
Here is
maybe
who
wonder.
GPT just shoved out some answers.
Since
best
2000.
Since 2000, using Memphis Tiger basketball players, who would be the best 3-on-3 tournament team? Best Memphis 3-on-3, Derrick Rose, wing, Chris Douglas Roberts, big, DeAndre Williams. The team, Derrick Rose, CDR, DeAndre Williams, possible biggest omissions, DeJuan Wagner, Will Barton, Joey Dorsey, Joe Jackson.
I will just say, DeAndre is the type of big inside-outside that I was penalizing you for not having with Durin.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. And his numbers are going to be pretty impressive. That's if I'd have been thinking, I might have gone DeAndre Williams.
GPT, top 10 for a Memphis 3-on-3, D-Rose, CDR, Tyreek, DeAndre Williams, DeJuan Wagner, Will Barton, Joey Dorsey, Joe Jackson, Rodney Carney at 9. They had Elliott Williams at 10.
Elliott Williams.
Yeah,
wow.
I'm surprised he even cracked the 10. But, I mean, he had a good college career. He really did.
The computers say DeAndre Williams should be on the list. Jalen Duren, no.
I don't see Jalen Duren on this list.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
It is somewhat
The computers
ridiculous.
Saw the Detroit series. But they saw the playoffs.
Jalen Duren was awesome.
Skynet's factored it in.
Maybe it's because they're looking at straight analytics over a four-year period as opposed to a short analytics.
I mean, Jalen Duren was the freshman of the year at Memphis.
Yeah.
In the AAC. He averaged 12 points a game, 8 rebounds, shot 60% from the floor, 2.1 blocks a game.
He was awesome. I agree.
I mean, you know, and then he's about to be an NBA max big. Yeah. Average 19.5.
Well, NBA, you're counting on some, counting on others.
No, I can't count the NBA, but even in
DeAndre, pretty darn good though. That's pretty clever from the computer.
He ain't top three though. He ain't making the top three. Anyway, we obviously are going to get to a consensus on who the three.
Oh,
well,
it's a good problem to have that you've
it's
got
a
four
fun,
five guys.
It's fun to talk about these guys.
The Tigers
were
did,
a five seed.
They did yep. just get past five. Washington. In
we
the
got
Fox
past
12.
Washington. You know who their three is?
Who? Washington.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
What was it? It had Isaiah in it, didn't it?
It's Nate Robinson, Isaiah Thomas, and Brandon Roy.
See, we backed them down.
Backed them down.
Thanks to Tyreek.
Yeah. That's good.
I mean
if we had Jalen Duren out there, he would have done the same thing. Isaiah Thomas and Nate Robinson.
Yeah.
Was it a Short King University over here?
They were a 12 seed. Washington, very small team.
Very small team.
Yeah. And then Roy's knee.
Bad matchup.
That's right.
Brandon Roy had to lead the game.
Well, you the one sitting up here saying it's pretty good.
Well, it is on paper.
I mean, Robinson ended up being a sideshow in boxing.
Individually, they were good, but as a team,
dunk forgot
contest
about that.
Winner.
Yeah, I mean, the way it played out was, you know, Nate and Isaiah, kept getting blocked at the rim, and then Brandon Roy left in the second quarter and never returned with a knee injury. So,
well, we destroyed him in our first round matchup.
We
got next, John? This is real, by the way.
This is real. This is not us just making it up.
This is cool.
It's awesome.
Memphis faces Louisville in the second round of the NCAA 3-on-3.
Do they have Rusticulous?
This is this is like 2 years ago when we had Haggerty, a 5 seed. We just beat the 12. Mm. And now what is
But I don't know where to find the teams. Mm. That's the problem.
No, you gotta go through it and go to the matchup that they won.
They're just like spamming like all these teams.
Well, they're all close together if you go there towards the
Russ,
Louisville's
Russ
got
Smith,
Russ,
Harrell,
Mitchell,
and Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah.
And they knocked off, Providence 3 of Chris Dunn, Devin Carter, and Ryan Gomez.
They killed Providence.
Is Montrezl Harrell your big?
Yes, of course.
Yes.
That's why we needed Jalen Durant.
And now the Tyreek matchup is a problem. It is. But Harrell flamed out pretty fast.
Yeah.
What do you win a sixth man and then nothing else? Like playing in G League.
I feel like you're trying to introduce NBA, and it's
you just talked about Durin and All Max, fool.
No,
all NBA and Max deals.
No, we can't. We have to keep it college. We have to keep it college. That's all.
His 24.1 career PER is number one among Louisville players in the database.
We're gonna lose. We're gonna lose this game.
I mean, we're the lower seed, are we not? There, Louisville's a 4 seed.
Yes, we're gonna.
We're
lose.
Getting. We're in the 5-4 matchup.
Yeah, we're gonna lose. And I think because
though.
Rusticulous, he's a bad dude.
I mean, Derrick will kill him.
He will, but the other two are going to hurt us. Like, Montrezl Harrell's going to kill us inside, And then
Donovan Mitchell on CDR.
Yeah, I mean, you know, honestly.
He is. He's going to get his.
I don't know,
but
though.
But he's not going to defend CDR. He's not going to stop him from scoring.
How good was Donovan Mitchell at Louisville? I don't remember a lot about that time in college. It was not great. He only averaged 11.7 for his career in two seasons.
No, Russ was the guy at Louisville. I mean, yeah. did crazy stuff. Russ-diculous.
But the problem is, this is where it is going to be a problem. They're going to think about the NBA.
Of course. And, this is what it inevitably has to factor in.
And CDR did not have an NBA career. You know,
I mean, he had one. He got kind of crazy with
prominent,
it.
Prominent, yeah. But he played, you know, 6-7 years.
He did. Nets. Yeah,
Nets and I feel like there was one other stop in there.
Yeah, Charlotte, I don't know.
Maybe there are a lot of stops in there, but yeah, I think we're gonna lose because people are gonna say, oh, they don't know CDR, they don't, you know, I don't know though. Maybe we'll.
If you took NBA careers,
yeah,
you would say you have a shot. Problem is Donovan. The other two didn't really. I mean, Montrez had. I think he did get a sixth man. Maybe we even lose in the sense of NBA. We do have an MVP.
Yeah, we have an MVP.
The youngest ever.
That's true. We have an NBA MVP, and we have, you know, wasn't Tyreek Rookie of the Year?
I want to say he was.
Pretty sure he was. So, but I mean,
it'll be close.
It will be close.
5-4, and if we win, we get who? We get the
Duke.
Yeah, that's where it's
at. The run will end there, but
they're the one seed. Can you guess who Duke's three are?
Since 2000? Yes. Crap. I hate Duke so much I can't even answer it.
Think recent, at least for one of them.
Oh, Cooper Flagg.
There you go. Yeah, there okay. you go. That's good enough.
So Cooper Flagg and the guy that's on the Grizzlies.
Think
Cam Boozer.
Think the guy who's more.
They did not pick Boozer.
The guy who's more known for liking BBWs than basketball.
Zion.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
They did pick a former Grizzly that was a Duke player, though.
Oh, is he white? No.
No.
Not white.
I think he's mixed.
You have to go way back.
I'm missing it.
He's a politician.
Had a steakhouse here.
Oh, Shane Battier?
That's right.
Oh.
Yeah. Which I think is a mistake. That should have been Paolo. Paolo in 3-on-3, bruh. Not fair.
You and Paolo. This is a big year for y'all.
Big year. But you can't really hold it against us, dude, because they didn't add. So. What are they supposed to do?
The ad is Franz.
Stop.
And the new coach.
Stop.
Because y'all put it on Mosley.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, they went out and they got Desmond Bane last year. That was their big move. All right, now we're
cool. Dude, Franz missed like 40, 50 regular season games. End of the playoffs.
And he going to do it again.
Well, then if he does it again, you're dead. Just like Edie, if he misses games, this plan's dead.
Yeah.
But it was a lot better when he's in there.
Yeah.
But Paolo can't do it by himself.
Right.
He's not that type of player, is
no,
he, John?
No. Well, I mean, he's.
He showed you he's not a superstar.
He gets what he. You, I mean, he's willing them to 7-game series against the one seed with no help. His second best player is like Wendell Carter. You know.
I think maybe four of that of those seven he did. He willed them.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Four of the seven.
What would you do?
I love how it triggers
you. What would you do to get Paolo Banchero in a Grizzlies uniform?
Me bringing Paolo down.
What would you do
to his rightful peg? I love how it triggers you.
You would do anything.
He's just not ready yet.
You would do anything to get Paolo Banchero.
No, I would not.
Yes, you would, bro.
I sense selfishness. I really do. I
feel you.
I was going to say, weren't we kind of getting hints of that last year?
No, I mean, he is.
This is not to trigger. I sense it.
The great ones have to have that gene, though. Michael Jordan was selfish.
Yeah.
As selfish as they get.
Is it a selfishness? This is not enough around me. That's the right kind of selfishness. Front office, get it together. Or is it a selfishness? I got mine in a loss, Bradley Beal type selfishness.
No, I get it.
That's what I need to know.
Look, Michael,
see, there's two different kinds there.
Michael Jordan, selfish, a-hole, team wins.
Right kind.
Oh, isn't that sweet? Paolo Banchero, selfish, a-hole, team loses. Call human relations.
Oh, no.
You know,
it's got to be a right Karen. There's two different kinds of selfishness.
I do think the team matters. If the Magic were better, then you would say that's what he's got to do. That's what he's got to be. But because they suck, it gets put under the microscope, and it's like he's a problem, he's a cancer, blah, blah, blah. You would do anything to have Paolo Banchero as a grid.
It's not just me.
You would do anything.
A lot of us have questions.
I mean, Paolo Banchero, bro, stop.
Mm-hmm.
As a Memphis Grizzly? Oh, my God.
How old is he?
Like 24?
Man, Cam, take that man to school inside. Grown man him at 19. Inside.
He's 23.
You better take us outside.
Hello, man.
Don't come anywhere in there where you got to be a man.
I understand that you're disappointed because you look at him and you think that they should already have three championships. I get it. But you got to come back to
reality.
He
was the one.
He is the one still. His team stinks. His point guard is Jalen Suggs.
Is it the team? Y'all just blame Mosley. Which one is it? The roster or the coach?
It's both.
Or Paolo?
It's not Paolo.
We're going to find out this year.
The only reason the Magic are even in the discussion for playoffs is because of Paolo.
You know how Jalen Brown
riser.
Has a soul and you don't question it?
He played with Jason Tatum, and now he gets to play with LeBron.
Jason Tatum was gone last year, and we were a two seed. We didn't need him.
Very fair. Fair point.
And when it was time to step up in the finals, who did?
Fair point. I'll give you that.
That's what I'm trying to find out
but
from Paolo.
But in fairness, he's 8 years in, 9 years in.
I get it.
You know? I mean, Jalen Brown at the beginning was not.
We're about to find out with Tatum if he's got a soul or not for real.
Yeah.
That one's, we're finding out later in his career. Okay? We're going to find out the same thing on Paolo.
I'm not saying that Paolo is a perfect player because I do get what you're saying. Like, does he make others around him better? I think that's definitely a concern. Like, I would say that. But I also think there's probably not a lot of guys that can be made better on this roster. They're trotting out Herman Cain, Jalen Suggs. I mean, Batadze. Their team stinks. And they took Detroit to 7 as an 8 and probably should have won the series if not for a collapse. So does he have something does he need to take that next step? 100%. Would I sit on a glass with my naked ass to get him in Memphis? 1,000%. 1,000%. Oh, man. There's nothing I wouldn't do.
I can tell. That's it. You're a little bit too giving.
Yeah, maybe so. Anyway, we'll announce the results from Memphis-Louisville in the second round, trying to get to our first Sweet 16 since 2009.
Pray for us.
Hopeful. All right, we'll come back, or we're hopeful about week zero here. Got Memphis football taking on UNLV going on the road. We'll see if they can pull the upset off. Steve Cofield's out there, does radio out there in Las Vegas. We'll get the update from him on who he expects a quarterback for UNLV, what kind of team they're working with, the importance of the game. All that and more on the other side. J&J, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
At Vistaprint, we know you've got that idea for your business. Like the one that nails the trade show, levels up your brand, or makes your team say,
"We're really doing this."
But an idea is just an idea until it's printed on
signage, giveaways, custom apparel.
Once it's
in my hands, on my team, out in the world,
then it's happening.
It's so happening.
Vistaprint has thousands of products, easy design tools, and real support to turn that idea into something possible. Print your possible with code NEW20 for 20% off your first order at Vistaprint.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
The 2026 Lincoln Aviator SUV turns a robust list of features into a world of premium experiences. Excite your drive with impressive horsepower and torque. Customize your comfort with available perfect position seats featuring 30 configurations. Make room for two more passengers with powerful third-row seats that can fold flat with the touch of a button. And immerse yourself in the finest expression of design and services with available elevated packages. Experience it for yourself by visiting your local Lincoln retailer.